In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we draw to a close the ecclesiastical year, and with the ending of everything, it is a rather sad or sorrowful moment to say goodbye to this past year, to say goodbye to all the good times that we had, all the sorrows, all the difficulties. It is true that we look forward to next year, look forward that it will be a better year than the one that we have just finished. But our Holy Mother, the Church, reminds us at this turning point of the year, this turning point of the church calendar, of why we are here. We were not made for this earth. We are only passing through. And whether we want to accept it or not, we all must die. We all must leave this world behind. We may leave it individually, one by one, or we may leave it all collectively, in a mass death, if you will. Either by war, some tragic natural event, or God striking us all at once. It really doesn't matter whether we go individually or all together. The only thing that is important is how each one of us faces that death. How we go materially matters very little. What matters is how we go spiritually. And spiritually, our Lord has made it very clear that God expects our love to be complete for Him. That we should be eager to be with Him. Our hearts should be aflame with a desire to be united with Him. And at the time of that dissolution of the body, if you will, at the time of our death, He is warning us, it is not the time to look back. It is not the time to hesitate. When you see that your end is near, if you're on the rooftop, don't go down to get your cloak. If you're out in the field, don't go back to your house. We should be racing to be with God, eager to leave this world behind, praying perhaps with St. Paul, O Lord, when will you free me from this body of death? But the terrible tragedy Christ warns us in today's gospel is that we're attached to the things of this earth. We're attached to our cloak sitting in the house that we have to go back and get it. We're attached to our farm, our family, our possessions, our way of life. And what our Lord is presenting us, I very much correlate with when Lot was told to flee from Sodom and Gomorrah, to take his wife, his two daughters, to leave those cities and not look back. Leave all this behind you and don't look back. And of course, we know that Lot's wife did not obey God and turned and looked back and was turned into this pillar of salt. We are reminded not to be looking back to this world, to these possessions. It used to rather shock me to read these words, woe to those who are with child or who have an infant at the breast, when they must go at this time, when their life ends and Christ comes for them individually, and they have this child that they're carrying or this child at their breast, how difficult is it for them to leave this child behind? How much affection must they have for this child of their own? How difficult will it be for them to leave that child and to flee into the arms of God? It is not that the child itself is evil, or it is a bad thing to be with child or to have an infant at the breast. These, our Holy Mother teaches us, are all good things. The difficulty comes in when we love these children more than we love God. For our Lord is very explicit. He wants all our love. He wants us to love Him with our entire being more than we love these adorable little children. More than we love husband or wife, son or daughter, mother or father, brother or sister, we must be ready to leave them all behind and not look back, and reach forward to heaven, reach forward to God. And as we examine ourselves and we look at this past year that we've lived, this past ecclesiastical year, have we been ready to leave this all behind? Have we been eager for Christ to come and take us with Him, to take us away? Or have we been clinging to this world, unwilling to sacrifice anything for God, unwilling to give away these affections for one another, for material things, for position, power, whatever it may be, it doesn't make any difference. I remember as a novice, one of the conferences on poverty. When St. Francis espoused poverty, he espoused a perfect poverty. And it was pointed out to us, it doesn't matter what holds you down to this earth. If you're a little bird and you're tied by a big heavy chain, it's no different than if you're tied by a little thread. The effect is the same. The poor little bird cannot fly. He is bound to this earth. He's being held down. And so it is with the Franciscan religious. It makes no difference if they have a big vault, a big safe filled with, what do they call it? Gold bullion. And he's holding on to this dear and he won't let go of it. He's not ready to lift his heart to God because he clings to this gold bullion. A whole big safe full of it. Treasure trove. Doesn't make any difference if that's what's holding him back. Or if it's a tiny fountain pen that he carries in his pocket that he clings to and he won't let anybody else borrow. The effect is the same. It has nothing to do with the intrinsic value of this or that. The only thing that is important is our attachment to it. And our Lord is telling us we must detach ourselves from all of that. He has even gone so far to tell us, if you are not willing to hate your mother, your father, your son or your daughter, your brother, your sister, for my sake, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. You're not worthy of my love. And if you think he's not serious, consider for a moment what he asked Abraham to do to his son, Isaac. Do you know the story, Addie? No? Oh, you do? Okay. God told Abraham, this son that I gave you in your old age, I want you to take him up on the mountain. I want you to slay him and offer him as a sacrifice to me. Can you imagine how hard that must be for a father who loves his son? And Abraham loaded his son down with the firewood for the sacrifice. He said, come on, son, follow me. Isaac was to carry the wood on which he was to be sacrificed as Christ carried the cross. And Abraham pulled out the knife, ready to slay his son before God sent that angel to withhold him. It was the test, the ultimate test of Abraham's love for God. Are you willing to turn your back upon that which you hold most dear in this life? Are you willing to sacrifice your own flesh and blood for the love of me? That is the demand that Christ has made of each one of us. That is that first and greatest commandment that he has given us. And that decisive moment is going to be that moment when we leave this life behind and enter into this next life. Whether it is the end of our own personal life or the end of this entire earth, it really makes no difference. What we must be concerned about is whether we have enough love for God to move forward and not look back. We must ask ourselves, do I really love God more than everything else? Am I eager to run into his open arms? Or at that moment when he invites me through death, at that moment am I going to say, wait a minute, God, just give me a little more time. He tells us, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. If God has spread this invitation and you're not eager to accept it, and you're looking back, waiting for more time, you don't really love him. Or at least I could say that you do not love him as you ought to love him. For our souls should be aflame with the love for God. And the end of this world, the end of our own lives, the end of time for us one way or another, should not be a time of dread, but should be a time of joy, of eagerness to go to that which we love. I came across an interesting idea in one of the fathers of the church, I can't remember which now, but he mentions that we have not so much to fear God's judgment. You know, everyone is trembling in fear with the judgment of God when Christ is going to judge us at the end of our lives. That's not really what we should fear. We should fear that we have not loved God. Because what happens is that which we love is the direction towards which we naturally go. We are inclined towards that which we love. If our hearts are burning with love for God, our soul will naturally race towards heaven. That moment when God will judge us will take just a second. But the soul will know, you might say intuitively, even beforehand, and will already be on its way before the judgment is called, because His love is so great. The one who loves the things of this earth, whose hearts are full of affections for all these worldly things, at that moment of death, he is going to be looking back towards this world. His heart is going to be racing towards these material things. And as his heart, his soul is racing back towards this material world, it will open up and swallow him in, carrying him right to the depths of hell. And again, that judgment would only take a second, just a moment. But even before that judgment is made, the soul is already racing in that direction. The soul is already headed in that direction before the judgment is made. The soul races to that which it loves. What should frighten us is what we consider to love more than anything else. What is it that we really love? Where are our hearts? Where are our affections? If our hearts are with God, we may rejoice. We have nothing to fear. We will flee from this world as Lot and his two daughters fled from Sodom and Gomorrah. But if we're clinging to this earth, if we're in love with this world will destroy us. We will turn back, looking to hang on to this world and be turned into this pillar of salt. Our lives will be destroyed. And what is frightening? You know, the soul that loves God receives God as its reward. The soul that loves this world will be even deprived of this world. The pleasure that he is looking back towards will be taken away from him anyway. The joys that he thought were there were only an illusion. And upon this death, when he's looking back to this world, his eyes are going to be opened up. But he's already on this direction. He's already in hell, you might say. And his eyes are opened and he realizes, I have been in love with a lie, with an illusion. That which I love isn't real. This world, this flesh and blood that is all passing away, I was a fool to sacrifice my soul for it. My soul was made to be with God, to see Him. And now that I realize it, it is too late. My heart has drawn my soul back to this earth. And rather than stopping here on the surface of this earth and receiving all the things that I thought were good on this earth, the earth has opened up and swallowed me into the depths of hell. Those are the two scenarios that we face. Joyfully lifting up our hearts and souls and soaring into heaven to be eternally happy with God, or at that moment of death, turning back with regret, with remorse, turning back as the dog returns to its vomit, looking back as Lot's wife on all those dear ones that we left behind, regretting having to leave them. And then at the moment we leave this world behind to see the earth open up and swallow us into the depths of hell. That is about as clear a picture as I can paint. I'm not a very good artist, I realize, but it seems crystal clear to me. Our whole lives have been given to us to prepare for this precise moment, that moment of our death. Which way are we going to go? You say, I don't know. I hope I don't go in the wrong direction. I don't want to go in the wrong direction. I say, well then, very good. You don't want to go in that direction? Well, stop. Look into your heart. Examine your conscience and ask yourself, what is it that you love? Do I really love God as I ought to love Him? Do I really love Him more than my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife, my son, my daughter? Do I love Him that much? Do I love Him more than myself? Where is my heart? Where is my love? And if we hang our head in shame and say, my heart is in that safe full of bullion, or in my little fountain pen, in my house, in my fields, in my cattle, in my car, my family, then we have something to be afraid of. Because that is precisely what our Lord is warning us of. He says, when you look in the temple and you see there the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, flee. I suggest to us that our souls are this temple. And when you look into your soul, when you examine your conscience, and you see that your heart, your affections, your love, it's attached to anything else but God. What you see before you is an abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. What must you do? Our Lord says, when you see that, head for the hills, run! How can we run from our own souls? This temple which we carry about in this mortal flesh of ours, how can we run away from it? You carry it wherever you go. I say, try to run from the abomination that you see in there. If you look into your heart and you see that this infant at the breast, or this property is there in this holy place, standing in the place of God, it is time to cut them off. It has become an obstacle to you. Get rid of them. Whatever it is that you have placed there before God, it is time to get rid of it. It is time to flee. Don't waste a moment. Don't second guess yourself. Don't think about it. Flee to the mountains. Flee to God. Destroy that abomination. Again, our Lord would have us in another parable. Tell us very clearly, if your hand scandalizes you, that is, if your hand becomes this occasion of sin to you, cut it off. It's better to go into heaven without this hand than to be whole and cast into the depths of hell. Or if your eye is this scandal, pluck it out. When I suggest that we must flee this abomination, I'm suggesting that we pluck it out and cast it from us. We get as far as we possibly can away from that which has become an obstacle to us. And if you can begin to understand this, then I'm certain that the lives of so many saints will begin to make sense to you. What would instill in a young man full of life and health to go into the desert and live as a hermit, to suffer all the pains and the hardship, the hunger, the thirst, to live as this solitary in the desert, in the wilderness? Why would someone willingly do that? And I hope you can see now why. For this young man who fled into the desert to be all alone was fleeing this abomination of desolation. He was trying to remove from his heart any affection to the things of this earth, so that the only thing that could take possession of his heart would be God. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.